You know, I love Jesus, man. I love Jesus. Let's read the Bible. Open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And once again, I encourage you, thank God for our phones, but I encourage you to have your Bibles. But I think we're going to put it on the screen as well if you want to follow with me. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. I read, made alive in Christ, with Christ. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world obeyed the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, He gives us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. So we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised, heathen, by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Jesus of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, who were far away from Him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. we are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. And everyone says, amen. The word is refreshing. So let's go, let's see, for the next couple of minutes, let's try to pick some of this. You remember what I told you? The book of Ephesians, we did study that in some of our schools, like Bible schools. But I think this is in itself a book of divinity. Because in the book of Ephesians, what do we see? We see the Christian doctrines. We see a full detail of God's plan to unite all people. We just read it. There's this big hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Just like there is nowadays, there's huge hostility between different people group. You know, I told you this already. The Bible says every tongue, every tribe, every people, every nation. So stop seeing yourself as white. Stop seeing yourself as black. Stop seeing yourself as Haitians. Stop seeing yourself as Puerto Rican, Canadians, wherever you're from, you think you're from. Your true nationality, you are a kingdom citizen. So therefore, your values are not from here. Your principles are not from here. You should have a kingdom mindset in everything. If not, I tell you, society will tell you what you should be. I mean, I told you a little bit of my story. Even some of you, when you read this book, you'd be like, these guys should be losers. Seriously. Because depending on where you come from or how you grew up, you're like, what chance do you have? But I tell you, we have all the chance we need. As a matter of fact, there's a verse in chapter 1 where it says, we have received all blessings from heaven. We've been blessed, right? We've been blessed from God. And as a matter of fact, we're sitting with God through Christ at the right side of God. Man, guys, Lord, I hope you get it. I hope you get it. Don't read the word fast. When you're reading the Bible, that's why don't be in a hurry. Turn your phone off. That's why I said, come go somewhere where there's less distraction. Come away. Go away with. And Jesus showed us that. Mark chapter 1 verse 35, right? Early in the morning, even before everybody woke up. And we know there's none of us who were as busy as Christ. He was really busy. Please, do not feed God and try to feed God into your day. Because when you realize, if you like me, if I'm trying to feed God within my 24 hours, man, it's like, bam, it's midnight from midnight to midnight. I'm like, God, there's no time. So you know what we do? For those of us who like to do that, we lay before the bed. Oh, Lord Jesus, Father God. Oh, Father, thank you so much for this day. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. And then, if you live by yourself, if your wife is not in the room, or somebody lives with you, a couple minutes, maybe 30, an hour later, they come like, hey, Ricardo, what are you doing? Get on the bed. Because we're giving God the leftovers of our day. You know, if we would be generous, thinking about 10%, right? Let's think about 10%. If we would be generous, we have been gifted 24 hours a day, right? So let's say if we would be religiously faithful by spending quality time. You know what creates good bond and friendship? Help me out. Come on, guys. Time. That's it. If you want to be my friend, we got to spend time. Because when we spend time, that's how we get to know each other. You know, we go to the movies together. Yeah. You know, we do things outside of our, because here, we are holy right here. Sunday morning in church, you know, everybody's holy. Glory to God. You know, you really get to know me, Jim, when we play Uno. Because I'm not going to let Jim win. And so far, I always win. not next time. Okay, we'll see, buddy. You know, it's like when we play Monopoly together. You know, Kendra's got this game. With, what do you call it? Quarkle? I'm not trying to win because she always wins. So now I play to spend time with her. It's like I go to the game as a loser already. Because I can't win yet. maybe. Monopoly, I always win. Or some other game we play. So what creates a good bond in friendship is time. The time we spent with God. The quality time. And I believe more than ever this year, if you want to see a boost in your faith, if you want to see a boost in your walk with the Lord, you have to pay the, help me out, price. You have to pay the price. You have to pay the price. Was David, when we studied the Bible, was David a perfect man? No. David did terrible thing, and yet God called David a man after his heart. You see, God knows. That's why he sent Jesus to save us from our Mary Clay, from our sins. But David knew. David says, one thing I ask. Oh, the only thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may contemplating his beauty. Oh, God, do this, work this miracle in our hearts. You know, it says, once you were dead because of your disobedience of many sins. And I like this chapter 2 because this chapter 2 makes a contrast. You should be able to make the difference between your life last year and your life this year. Because if anyone is in Christ, that person become a new creation. That's what it's saying here. You were dead because of your disobedience. And I pray that none of you here walk in disobedience. You check your life. Which area in your life are you disobeying God? See, when we disobey God, we will die. Today, I said before you, life and death. What do you want to choose? Oh, I choose life. Anybody else with me? I choose life. Because when I choose life, I will live. It says we used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Now remember, in the church, they used to categorize sin like the big sin, the little sin. Come on, there's no such a thing. There's no such a thing as big sin or little thing. Listen to what it says. It says, you used to obey the commander of the powers in the unseen world. So you were dominating by the devil. That's what it means. You were being influenced by the devil before you knew God. And it says, he is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. That's why when you see people in the world doing bad things or things of the flesh, do not be surprised. Now, we should be surprised when someone who called himself a follower of Jesus, who are living by the, I like this, it says, by the inclination. Inclination. I like that word, inclination. Inclination, right? So now let me ask you this question. What are some of the inclination of the flesh? What are some of the inclination of the flesh? Drugs, alcohol, greed, selfishness. Come on, help me out. Immoral living, right? Immorality, adultery. Uh-huh. Come on. Do not step on my foot, girl. Come on, Angie. Ouch. But amen. Amen. Workaholism. What else? Come on, help me out. selfishness. What is it, Captain?
Unkindness.
Unforgiveness. Come on. Anybody else? Huh? Temper. Come on, Marianne. Anybody else? Come on, Felix. Come on, man. What? Hatred? Greed? Oh, come on, my lady. Lost.
Obnoxious.
That could be bad. Pride. Knowing all. Knowing it all. How about hypocrisy? Being a hypocrite. And the Bible says from Galatians chapter 5, it says the work of the flesh, the inclination of the flesh is evident. It's so easy to see it. Everything you've said here, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. How about idolatry? Greed. Incontentment. Is that a word? Or discontentment? Discontentment. Lord, allow me to be content. Now, we're not saying if you can buy another pair of shoes, not to buy it. That's not what we're saying. Some people, if you have money to dress nice, you do dress nice, okay? Don't go dress nice on credit. That's sin too, because you become the slave of the borrower, of the lender. Are you with me? This is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, telling to the people, he's like, you need to understand, this is how you used to be. But this is how, and I like every time, verse 4, it says, but. I underline these but in my Bible. You should underline, big underline, colorful, make it colorful. But. You know, every time there is a but, what? There is the but used to introduce a different idea. It says, but. It is winter, but. Summer is coming. So hang on. Lay up. Jealousy. Fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division. How about division? Strife. People who cause strife among brothers. Inclination of the flesh, drunkenness, envy. Watch that, drunkenness. You know, one thing I don't understand. I told some of our guys in Haiti, I don't know how it is here. I don't know, but I know in Haiti, I'm like, guys, why every time we want to have a party, we always have to be drinking? Just like people think, well, we free in the Lord, we can, I'm not saying it's sin to drink a beer, to drink a glass of wine, that's not what I'm saying. But why every time we got to get together to have a party, you have this big case of hard rum and everybody's just drinking? Why? Just think about it. I don't have their answer, but I'm always asking why. Why can't we just have good time with lemonade? I don't know. I'm just asking. Because I see it. I see there's a lack of self-control. Why every Friday or when I feel like I had a really bad week, why do I have to sit on the couch with a glass of wine to unwind? Why can't I call Pastor Ricardo? Are you going to be in the sanctuary for soaking tonight? I'm putting these things in your mind. Because really, we give to the inclination of the flesh to find that peace, to find that healing. And we know from past experience, I know, it always leaves us empty. Are you with me? So Paul is warning us here in chapter 2, and he says, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, for example, fornication. You know, if you're not married, you shouldn't be in sexually impure. You should keep yourself pure, okay? If you're married, you need to remain pure. It doesn't matter how old are you. You know, there's a pandemic right now. Older people are, there's a lot of older people in the church. Women and men are in pornography. You shouldn't be doing that stuff. If you are doing that stuff, you need to repent. Confess your sin be healed. God wants to bless you, my brothers and sisters. You're not the same person anymore. People who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You know, we live in a society where they're trying to redefine marriage. Okay? You can't redefine marriage. Marriage is between, true marriage is between one man and a woman, period. Now, everybody can believe whatever they believe. They can do whatever they... People are entitled to their belief, right? They are. But one thing we can stand for sure on for sure is those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? Inclination of this... I mean, this is just a couple of verses we're picking here from chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, so rich in mercy, he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gives us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Of course, Paul's talking. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, God lavishes his love on us. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ. You know, this verse should underline in your Bible. Sometimes we have our mind or our head intermingling in the affair of this world too much. And that's what steals our peace. We get intermingling into the affair of political affair, then it's like we lose it. Guys, this world is falling. This world is going to waste. Let me read that for you again. God has raised us from the dead. And I was reading this out. I mean, this would be a good Easter sermon. But you know what? Easter is every day. That Easter we celebrate, I hope we're celebrating Easter right now. Because we're reminding ourselves that Christ died so I might live. You know? Jesus came as a baby, lived, show us how it's done. Lived by the power of the Holy Spirit so we could live like him. So God can point. Now, look at this. Verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. So when God sees you, it's like God wants to take pride in you. Saying, you see this? See this girl here? That's mine. So I'll give you a story. I told you, my dad, God bless him. He didn't know. You know, hurt people. And when we asked my dad, it was like, Dad, why were you so the way you were? And then he told us his story. I'm like, wow, yeah, you really can't give what you don't have. You know, he was rejected by his parents, kicked out of the house. Mom never talked to him. Now we find out one of the reasons my grandma really, really, I felt like my grandma loved me a lot because I was my dad's son. I felt my grandma, before she died, she called me and gave me land, inheritance in Haiti. I was like, wow. I mean, why didn't she call the other nephews or whatever? But she, you know? Can't remember what I was saying, but I was going to give you a story with this breath. Maybe it's not worth it. If it comes to me, I'll tell you. Verse 8. So God saves you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit on this. You see, I think that you should put on your walls, on your fridge. Do not take credit for God's grace. Oh yeah, this is what I was going to tell you. How God loves you. When God sees you, he takes credit. Because I remember after I met the Lord, I am married, I was working, I was a preacher, so I had some kind of a social status, and then I would go places, and my dad would tell everybody, oh yeah, Pastor Ricardo is my son. And I see how he said it. He said it proudly. So, of course, at the time, God was still working on my heart. I'd get offended. I'm like, if it was for you, I wouldn't finish sixth grade. I took offense. The Lord, thank God for his grace. But I remember seeing my dad taking pride in who we are. You see, it doesn't matter. And for those of you who are parents, it doesn't matter what your kid's done. You always love them. And I told you a couple weeks ago, there's nothing that hurts a parent's heart when you love your child so much. I mean, you would give your life for that child, and yet that child is struggling with an orphan mindset. And you're like, you don't get it? I love you so much, Alyssa. Girl, you have no idea. You're my girl in whom I'm so well pleased. You don't have to perform. And I told my kids, I said, it doesn't matter. When my kids were little, I said, if you need me anytime, you knock. You don't have to knock, open. And they did it. Because I lived across the church. And I had an office at the church and an office in my house. So depending on what I'm doing, my kids, every time they would need me, they would always come. That's our Father. That's how God is. He says, you have access. You see, the enemy, he wants to plant those seeds in our mind. When things are not, it's like, oh, you're not perfect. You don't have your stuff in order. Then we don't understand grace. That's why when we mess up, the enemy plant that seed in your mind. It's like, you better not show up. You better not come. Please, come closer to the light. You know, and the thing is, sometimes people blame the pastor. They think, well, the pastor is talking to, I don't know your business. I don't know your life. I'm just speaking the truth. So if you are under conviction, you know what you must do? You do like the people in Acts chapter 2. Repent. Brothers, what must I do? And the answer is, repent. Change your ways. God loves you so much. By his grace, you believe. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from him. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. None of us can boast about it. So put that in your head. There's nothing you can do to earn God's grace. So stop trying. Stop striving. Just believe. Every day. I tell you, that mindset would even heal your body. It will lift you from, I feel like since I've been reading, spending time in Ephesians, there's a level of, in God's love I'm experiencing. It's like, man, I feel so free. I'm like, wow. This is because my mind is being renewed on how God sees me. See yourself as God sees you. You know the hardest person on you is yourself. Oh, man. Sometimes I don't listen to my sermon. Because I'm listening, I criticize myself. I'm like, not now, just back in the days. Like, Ricardo, you can't say that. Come on, that's not good. We criticize ourselves. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we hate ourselves very hard. For we were God. We are, verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. I like that. Masterpiece. Piece of heart. Art. God take pride in you. As a matter of fact, remember this. When God created the earth, created everything, he said, let us make men to our likeness. Let us create Ricardo. Let us create Linda to our likeness. Let us make Mike to our likeness. Let us make Pim to our likeness. You put your name in there. Guys, you know, it's hard, especially when Kendra was asking me yesterday, she said, did you ever felt rejected when you were growing up? And I actually had to think. I did, but my mind's been renewed. There's been so much healing, I can't even remember anymore. Guys, I remember, now I have the picture. One of the torture me and my brothers experienced. God bless my dad, we forgive him, and we pray that he'll come to salvation. My dad was so mad, he poured water in a room. There's maybe like 2-3 inches of water, and he told us to lay in it. I mean, talking about trauma. So if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, you know how a terrible person I could be? A hard person, because I had a very hard upbringing. And that's what we're talking about. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power that saved. And that's what I'm talking about. If anybody give that gospel a chance by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you give the gospel a chance in your life, you will be free too. And sometimes you're like, I'm looking for my past. Oh yeah, I remember, but the pain's not there. Because it's like, my identity is in Christ is so like taken over. I'm like, did I ever felt rejected? I can't remember that. Hallelujah. Do not let your past dictate your future. I believe some of you here, God wants to take you to another level of freedom. Even your past can't haunt you anymore. I tell you, some of us, we allow our past to haunt us. We allow our past to tell you, you can't do it. Let me remind you today, you can. And you will. Just believe what God says about you. And that's why, once again, this is what it says. It says, don't forget that you Gentiles, and you are. And back in the days, that's the worst name they could call somebody. Uncircumcised heathen. Because the Jews, they took pride in their circumcision. Thinking their circumcisions, I mean, Romans chapter 2, verse 17 and 29 talks about that. It's like, man, a true Christian is not a Christian that you can, you know, that... You know, go to church, suit and tie, you know, carry their Bibles under, you know. A true Christian, you make... let me read it. Romans chapter 2. Let's go there. Romans chapter 2. Ah, thank you, Lord, for your word. Romans is right after Acts. Chapter 2. I got to remind myself of that sometimes. So it says, you call yourself Jews. Let's replace the word Jews by Christians. You are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him, right? Verse 18 now. It says, you know what he wants. You know what is right because you've been taught his law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for the people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God. For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well, then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but you steal. You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but you commit adultery. You condemn idolatry, but you use items stolen from pagan temples. You are so proud of knowing the law. And here Paul's talking about your head knowledge. You puffed up with pride. But you dishonor God by breaking it. And when I read this, I actually thought about this. You know, I read many versions of the Bible. I think the wrong version of the Bible is the version nobody obeys. You know, because I know sometimes people be like, well, you know, the King James is very close to the Greek. You know, the NLT, the whatever version. But really, the Bible, the wrong Bible is the Bible the church is not reading and they're not obeying. Now, English is my third language. Most of you here only barely speak English. So the... I'm picking on you, right? So the NLT is very, very easy for me when I read it. But I read all the others as well, you know? So it says, you say it's wrong. No, where was I? Is it, what verse I was? 25. It says, the Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are not better than any uncircumcised Gentile. And if the Gentile obey God's law, won't God declare them to be his own people? In fact, uncircumcised Gentile who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law but don't obey it. Now, something for you to come with me in your mind. I want you to imagine, or maybe in your homework you can read Acts chapter 2 and then jump to chapter 10. Peter had a vision. Now, there's a man called Cornelius in Acts. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was a woman. But the Bible says Cornelius had the fear of the Lord. So every day at 3 PM, Cornelius would go pray. How awesome. Cornelius would prioritize his quality time with God, God of Israel. So Cornelius would go and just like talk to the God of Israel because he believed in God. And then one day, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for everybody. And one day Cornelius is praying, and then Cornelius had a vision. The angels told, an angel told Cornelius, sent in Joppa for a man called Peter and tell Peter, come here. At the same time, Peter is in Joppa, upstairs, up on the flat roof, praying, and then Peter had a vision. And in the vision, Peter saw a sheep coming down with all kinds of animals, you know, pig, unlawful animals that the law told the Jewish they shouldn't eat because they were unclean. So in that vision, Peter said, there's a voice that told Peter, kill, eat. Of course, Peter's like, come on, man, I don't eat anything that's unclean. The same voice says, come on, Peter, do not call what I call clean, unclean. You see, now, the Holy Spirit was preparing Peter to see that he's going to pour his Spirit on us Gentiles. And that's what happened. So Peter didn't understand it. Of course, then the guys that Cornelius sent got there. Long story short, they took Peter to Cornelius. Cornelius is like, all right, brother. I don't know, I was just praying, and the Lord says for me to send for you, here we are, whatever you have for us. And then Peter preached the gospel. While Peter is preaching the gospel, the Bible says they all receive the Holy Spirit. You know, I pray for each of us. Guys, believe God's word. You will experience, I tell you, it's not a man that create miracles in your heart. No pastor, no preacher, no prophet can create miracle in your heart. When you hear God's word, if you believe it, the word will act for you. If you believe God's word, if you receive God's word, it will work in your life. So take to heart what God is saying. And that's what Paul is saying here. In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who kept God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. So a true Christian is one whose heart is right with God. True circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. You know, we could fast. We could come here in the morning, 5 AM, 6 AM, 7 AM. We could fast 24 hours. But unless that produced a changed heart, it's just being religious. You see, what we're calling to do, what I'm calling you to do, it's not a religious act. I'm not asking you to be religious. I'm asking you to give chance to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to do penance. Yeah, penance. That's not what I'm asking. To be like, okay, God, all right. Pastor, you heard Pastor, Lord. That's a sacrifice, man, Lord. And if that's 4 AM... Please stop it. I'm asking you to give a chance to the Holy Spirit. Be like, God, I'm just thirsty. Lord, I'm just not thirsty. Come to Him. Come to Him as you are. Say, Lord, I know there is more, but I'm not feeling the more. Lord, I feel like my heart's not breaking for the things that breaks your heart. Lord, that's what I need. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for us. I'm not asking you to do a bunch of things. No, it's not religion. It's about time we experience the fire of God in your life. This world needs hope. This world doesn't need a bunch of religious nuts. We need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to make a choice. Are you going to choose God? Are you going to serve God? Walking in holiness, living in holiness or not? That's what I want. I don't want a church full of people. No, I want whatever handful of people we have just on fire. When we come before God, we're like, God, have mercy on me. Lord, I need you. So He can empower you when you go to work. When you go to work, you can be a tool in His hand. He can use you to bring hope. He can use you to speak in someone's life. Amen? Ah, oh, there's so much. I better stop. All right. Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we humble ourselves before your word now. Alyssa, come play for me for a little bit. Oh, Jesus, come on. I want you to just open up your heart. You know, what is the Lord saying to you? What do you sense? What must you do? What's your response to God's word this morning? Let's take a couple minutes, you know, to respond to God's word. What is He saying? If you need prayer, let's do that. I'll ask our prayer team to make themselves ready. Do you feel like you need a spark? What do you need? You know, do you need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit again this morning? Oh, Lord, we thank you. What do you need? Come on. Come to the Lord. Come to the altar. You know? Just give room to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. What is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Let's give an answer to the Lord. Before we go home, let's take a couple minutes to answer to what He's speaking to us. Lord, we submit to the authority of your word. Empower us, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, Father. We humble ourselves, Lord. Let your garment fill this place. Let your presence fill this place, Father. As we hear these words, as we even you know, we like those guys from the road to Damascus, and he says, you know, didn't you feel our hearts were burning while he was talking? So God, I pray that you would burn our hearts with your word this morning. Lord, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sins against us. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding, like it says in chapter 1. It says, ask God, the glorious Father, Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom. Father, this morning, give us spiritual wisdom. We're not asking for stuff, perishable things, but we're asking for wisdom, Lord. Wisdom in whatever situation. What situation that you need wisdom? Wisdom, Lord. Give us wisdom so that, give us insight that we might grow in your knowledge, in our knowledge of you, to know you intimately, Lord. Father, I pray that these your sons and daughters, they would not know you from what I'm just saying, but they would know you personally, intimately. Personally, intimately. And that's your desire as well, Father. Your desire is that we live this new life we find in Jesus Christ. We live this restored life, a life of restoration in you, Lord. Father, I ask that you'd stretch out your hands right now. You'd work miracles. Lord God, I pray that you would, the dead part in our lives would come alive. Lord God, I pray our hearts would leap with joy, would jump with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you, Father. Thank you for your word. We submit under the authority of your word. For your word is the truth. It rebukes, it teaches us, it equipped us. Oh Lord, we cast all our cares on you. I'll invite you to help me pray for our churches in Haiti this morning at 6 in the morning. I had a call from one of our pastors because I guess there's a group of soldiers from different nations that are in Haiti right now fighting against the gangs. So they're using drones to drop, to kind of locate where the gangs are. So this morning there's this big news about this kind of war fight or demonstration that was going to take place. So a lot of churches weren't able to open today. And some of our pastors, they called me this morning and kind of debate what they should have done and stuff. So we decided to kind of meet on WhatsApp. That's what they did. So would you please pray? I'm going to ask Jim. Jim, would you come up and pray for our brothers and sisters? Come on, join me. Join me. Let's stand. Let's join me and intercede for our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Let's pray. We thank God for the freedom we have. But yeah, let's pray for them. Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we come together in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
To bring together to you our brothers and sisters in these torn countries,
yes,
these countries that are going through so much strife. But also, Lord, we bring before you the people who don't know you,
Lord.
Yet.
Yes.
They're just people, Lord. They're just like us. They're just going through life, but they don't know you yet. They don't have any certainty about what happens after life. They don't have any security and comfort or peace in their lives, Lord. They're still bearing the burden of shame and sin. And Lord, this is not how you've designed us.
Yes.
From the beginning of time, you had this great plan of salvation. And in order to carry it all out, Lord, you went through history and gave us clues, telling us someone is coming, someone is coming, a Lord and a King and
hope,
a Savior, someone is coming. And you gave the prophets a clue, and you gave different people a clue. And then when Jesus came, you had all of those men that were with him for years, Lord, that could walk with him and see and record his life and record all about how he fulfilled every one of those promises. And now he has risen from the dead and has proved that everything he said was right, because if he was lying, God no way would have endorsed his ministry by raising him from the dead. And now we serve a living God. We serve a living Savior, one who is able to save from the uttermost everyone that calls upon his name. Lord God, Lord God, anyone listening on this broadcast this morning that has never accepted Christ, we encourage you to bow your knee to him. He has proved himself.
Yes,
he has risen. He is alive. Call on his name. He will show himself to you. He will cleanse you from your sin. He will restore your life just as he has for Pastor Ricardo, just as he has for me, just as he has for so many thousands through the centuries. He will restore your life. He will bring new life, give you a new heart, give you eternal life. Call on him today. Lord Jesus, we don't find peace in this world, And sometimes we find strife in order for us to cause to seek the real peace, the peace that only comes from Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
So we pray, Lord, for all those who are under pressure, who are under strife, who are just ignorant of Jesus, Lord.
Yes,
have your way.
Yes, Lord.
Use this turmoil to stir up the fallow ground of our country, of so many people, Lord.
Yes,
bring
Lord.
Forth fruit
Jesus,
from all of this, we
Jesus.
Pray now.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jim. We're going to continue. I want to do two more prayers. And then, Sam, be ready to pronounce a blessing. Robert, come here. Let's pray for the pastors. And then, Sam, I want you to pronounce a blessing when Robert's done. Come on. I want you to pray. Just ask the Lord to sustain the pastors. There's a lot of them who are discouraged. They don't know what to do. There's a lack of resources. Let's pray for the pastors there. Thank you, Father.
Lord, we lift up these brethren.
Yes, Lord.
And we just ask right now that you make a way where there is no
way,
because you said, I am the way.
Make a way, Father.
Father, I just ask right now that just like the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 says,
yes,
that they stand firm.
Yes, Lord.
And that they stand fast.
Yes, Lord.
That they give up no territory.
That's right.
That they will understand that Christianity is a strong man's gospel.
Right,
there is no backing
right.
down.
Yep.
There is no backing away.
That's right.
There is no giving up nothing.
That's right.
They will advance your kingdom because,
yes,
Lord Jesus, you said
they will.
That even the gates of hell
that's right.
would not prevail against
that's
it.
Right.
So,
they
Lord,
will.
They will move forward.
They will.
They will make
In
war.
The name of
they
Jesus.
Will
In the name of Jesus.
Overcome
yes.
because, Jesus, you said
they
you
will.
Can overcome because I have overcome.
Yes.
Lord, give them your peace. Not,
that's right.
not peace that the world gives.
That's right, Lord.
Give them your peace.
That's right,
Let
Jesus.
Them see that you said that when you're in the fire,
that's
that you
right.
will walk with them.
That's,
that's
right.
what you said, Lord.
Yes,
so there's going to be times that we're going to be walking through the fire.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you said that
Sustain
when you're
them.
In the flood,
Sustain
I will
them,
be
Father.
With you.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, when we and they are literally going through, quote, hell and high water.
Yes, Father.
I know that you will be with us and
yes,
you
Lord.
Will be with them.
Yes, Lord.
You will never leave us nor forsake us.
Thank you, Father.
Strengthen them. Let them see that truth.
Yes, Lord.
Let them believe that truth.
Yes,
and let
Lord.
Them act
yes.
on that truth.
In the name of Jesus.
That you are
yes.
more than enough, and give them
yes,
a strength
Lord.
And a determination and a will.
Yes.
To endure
yes, Lord.
And press on and press through.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah, so let's receive a blessing.